Only one has done it all for us, and that one is Jesus, our Savior. In his precious name, amen. I invite you, if you will, to take your Bibles, if you brought them this evening. If not, use one of the pew Bibles in the pews before you, in the pew racks, and turn to our lesson for tonight, the second lesson Pastor read, and that's the reading from James chapter 5, beginning with verse 7. If you're a visitor with us this evening, and I know we have visitors, and you don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's Word throughout the week. Tonight's theme, as I mentioned to the children a moment ago, is waiting, and especially patiently waiting. Patiently waiting is difficult work. I asked the children a moment ago, let me ask all of you now, raise your hands, if patiently waiting is an easy thing for you, raise your hand. See how many hands there are? Just one or two, and they're of little ones who I'm not sure understand quite as fully the whole idea of waiting patiently. Our lesson for this evening is written by the Apostle James. James was one of the younger brothers of Jesus. James knew about waiting. James knew also about living in difficult circumstances. You see, in the early church, it wasn't easy to be a Christian. And when difficulties came in the church, and they certainly did, many of those ended up with James trying to work out the details and help the church move forward in a good and godly way. It's hard to be patient. I know it's true in our household, in the Snow household, and I wonder if it isn't true in your families and in your households as well. It's difficult to wait. I thought of the modern conveniences that we have in our world and in our lives, and how easy it is for things to move along fast, and still we're impatient. Can you see this young lady staring at the microwave? Come on, come on, I'm waiting, come on. How silly it is. Think of how fast the microwave often works, and how much longer it would take if we didn't have that modern convenience. What about this example? And that's a copy machine. Somebody's waiting at the copying machine while somebody else is working, but have you ever been at the copy machine thinking, make these copies faster? Why do I have to wait so long? Can you imagine in the past? Do you remember when there weren't copy machines? Maybe it was the dirty, smelly mimeograph machine, or long before that, everything had to be done by hand. It's so hard to wait. And wait patiently. When I think of that, I think of some days past in our family. When we lived the Snows in Northern Illinois, I worked for the Northern Illinois District, that part of our church body. And oftentimes I would need to travel. They might be day-long trips, but often I would travel around the United States for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for our church body. And when I would be gone, I'd have to fly to places or drive places and would be gone days at a time. When Deb knew that I was going to be coming home, she would often say to the children, Dad's going to be home, go watch, go wait. And so the kids would wait at the window. The windows beside the door would give them just enough opportunity to peek out and see, is he coming now? Is he coming now? What about now? But Deb would also tell me the story that after they had waited for a while, it didn't take very long that they got tired of waiting. They got exhausted with waiting. And when they waited as long as they could, they got busy with other details and forgot all about Dad's coming. And maybe if they waited long enough, they'd even fall asleep. Dad would come home and they wouldn't be ready. They weren't waiting and they weren't watching patiently. any of that happen at your house? James knew that situation is common to most of our families and most of our lives. And that's why James said in our lesson, as you wait, take the example of the farmer for your example. James knew that waiting is a difficult thing to do, not just in everyday circumstances, but also when life is difficult. When problems come, when there are difficulties in our lives, that makes waiting all that much more difficult. Not just everyday circumstances, but James was talking about waiting when life is difficult because you're a Christian. He said, look at the farmer, for example. The farmer is a patient person. The farmer waits and waits and waits. There's a lot that a farmer needs to do in preparing the soil, in getting the seed, in planting the seed, perhaps in cultivating, maybe in fertilizing, all that the farmer does. But ultimately, James says, the farmer has to wait for the autumn rains and the spring rains. Ultimately, the farmer's life is in the hands of God. My grandparents were farmers in South Dakota. My mom was the oldest of three children, and she was raised on the farm. And I can remember times when I was growing up, I talked with Grandpa and Grandma and said, you know, I think I'm a person of faith. I trust God, but I'm not sure that I've got strong enough faith to be a farmer. A farmer depends completely upon God. There's much a farmer can, a farmer needs to do, but ultimately, isn't it all in God's hands? God sends the rain, He sends the sunshine, He provides, and He causes the fields to grow and the crop to come in. As the farmer waits, James says to you and me, you need to wait too. Have you ever noticed that when you wait and you get tired of waiting, there's sometimes frustration that comes in families? And that's why I think James in our lesson says, brothers and sisters, you who are in the church, you who are people of God, as you wait for God to deliver you, for God to rescue you, for God to help you, as you wait, don't grumble against one another. Have you ever heard grumbling in a church before? I'm thankful that Holy Cross is a peaceful place. I believe that when churches grumble, when there's fighting in churches, sometimes that happens because there's not strong leadership. But more important than that, when there's grumbling among the people of God, that happens, I think, because the people of God have lost their focus. They forget what they're about and who's leading them. They forget what Jesus wants of them and the ministry that God sets before them. And when they forget their focus, it's easy to get distracted and bored and then grumble and fight with one another. James says, keep your focus. Trust in God. Know that He will deliver you, especially when times are hard. Look at the prophets, James says, as an example. Perhaps it's the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. His ministry lasted about 50 years, and it was in the years about 600 BC to about a little bit after that, 580 BC. And it was a difficult time in the people of God. Jeremiah needed to speak to the people, and he told them that God was going to destroy their nation because of their wickedness, and their capital city would fall, and the temple would be destroyed. And when he said that, the people rebelled against it. God forbid! God would never allow that. But because of their wickedness, that's exactly the message God gave Jeremiah to speak to the people, and when he did, they persecuted him. It was difficult waiting upon God, and especially when he spoke the word God had given him to speak. The prophet that's mentioned, the person of God in our text, is Job. Do you remember from the book of Job? In Job chapter 1, we're reminded that Job was the richest of the people of the East. The Bible uses the word the greatest of the people. And what we find in Job chapter 1 is that Job had been richly blessed by God. He had a huge number of animals and of children too. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and had large numbers of servants. But because he was a believer in God, the devil came against him, remember? And came against him, destroying all the possessions that he had. What we find out is that evil people in the nations around stole the oxen and stole the donkeys, that the fire of God came down from heaven and destroyed the camels, and that on one day of feasting, all the children of Job were killed when a great wind came and collapsed the house they were in. Over and over again in the book of Job, there were those who said to Job, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Get it over with. God hasn't taken care of you. God doesn't care about you." But Job was a man of great faith. And in the last book of Job, we read in chapter 42 that Job prayed and the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. 14,000 sheep and 1,000 oxen and 1,000 donkeys, and again, 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job was persecuted by the devil because he was a Christian, and it was hard for Job to wait. But because he waited, and God gave him trust and faith and hope, God restored him and much more than he had before. Also, in James chapter 5, we read about Elijah. Elijah had a difficult ministry. Do you remember when it was that Elijah on Mount Carmel had come against the prophets of Baal? The altar was consumed by fire, you remember? And then the prophets of Baal were killed because God was the God of all things, over all things. And yet, because he was a believer, he had to flee Jezebel. And that was a worry for him in his own life. He waited. He had to be patient until God delivered and rescued him. In the gospel reading for tonight, we're reminded by Jesus himself that the New Testament Elijah was John the Baptist. And where do we find him? In prison, suffering because of his faith, waiting for God to deliver him. And it's in that time of waiting when he wondered and worried and sent messengers to Jesus, "Are you the one we're waiting for?" And what Jesus said is, "Go tell John what you have seen and heard. Go tell John that I am the one who give healing to those who are in need. There are lepers who are cleansed by me. The deaf hear and I heal them. The dead are raised from the dead to life. The gospel is preached, the good news that God loves and forgives the world in me. That is the message that's preached to the poor, and the blind receive their sight." God says, "I am the one." Jesus is the one God sends to be the Savior of the world. God's people waited, and they were called to wait patiently. Our lives are not always easy, and waiting is hard, especially when we may be persecuted because of our faith. And yet God gives us a witness too, so that we can be strong in our time of waiting. God gives us the waters of baptism, the reminder that we are redeemed, forgiven, and made His very own children. God gives us the gift of the very body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. God gives us His precious Word, that in His Word we find His love for us, his forgiveness and mercy, and ultimately our Savior, Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, when it's difficult to wait, especially to wait as Christians for God to deliver, God to restore, for God to make us whole again, he calls us to wait patiently, to know that we are in his hands in keeping. You are his very child. Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is coming again for you. May God give you peace and patience and joy and hope as you wait patiently. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus as you wait patiently. Amen.